The other thing that people would ask about, like ask me about, like weaving humor in your marketing is, I want to be funny, but I want to play it safe. What can I do? Right. So definitely number one is knowing the brand. We already know that. And number two, just be safe. Avoid trying to even be on the border of offensive.
Entrepreneurs love talking about business. However, it's no secret there's also so many things they love talking about which are not about business. In the Sea of Business podcasts, none of your business is a refreshing break, a surprise kiss, an afternoon fizz. Through Carla Singson's cheeky and radical takes on mundane and principle-heavy topics, you'll gain insights that guarantee you something to talk about on your first Tinder date, while visiting grandma, or if you want to impress your new boss. Big thanks to Proximity Outsourcing for sponsoring this episode. Outsource the most tedious tasks in your business, such as data management, appointment setting, and creatives, for less than $12 an hour, fully managed. Visit ProximityOutsourcing.com for more info. Tired of business podcasts? Tune in to None of Your Business. New episodes weekly.
Hello, good morning. It's a very happy Monday in sunny Playa del Carmen. And today we have a special encore podcast episode with one of my bestest friends, Kate Buck Jr. You've probably seen some of our other episodes on this podcast. This is a special encore episode sponsored by her company, Social Media Pro, home to the world's best social media certification courses. If you know anyone who wants to shift into a career in social media or a social media VA wanting to get the best certifications in this space, definitely check out Social Media Pro. You can visit their website at socialmediapro.com and check out their wide range of social media courses and certification. They are super updated. They have a lively community. They host these fun weekly calls on their Facebook group, and it's such a great place to just be around other experts and other people who enjoy social media. So whether you're a consumer or a creator, I'm sure there's a space in social media that you enjoy. And on top of that, your business, or you could also be a business owner who find a benefit in being on social media. So speaking of social media, I know a lot of you follow me on social media. I have a very active Facebook and Instagram page, and also my newsletter. So if you want to check that out, you can find it on my website, carlasingson.com/resources. You can sign up for my newsletter. Although, tiny warning, I sometimes write my emails in Tagalog or Filipino. So most of my audience in that newsletter is from the Philippines. A lot of them are from the Philippines. So shout out to all the Filipinos out there. But if you follow me on social media, you know that I love funny memes. I love funny stuff. And I also love weaving humor into how I do sales, how I do marketing, how I do my talks, if you've seen me on a big stage. And one of the things I always get asked about is, how do you properly weave humor into your marketing? And so I sit down with Kate on a special class at Social Media Pro about this, where we talked about how to be funny but not be inappropriate, or how to choose to be inappropriate but not necessarily offensive. There's a narrow line there that you really need to tread. What really brings engagement into your posts? It's actually not humor. It's something more special than that. Do a deep dive into that as well. Why humor is the cheapest way to build a connection. And of course, my favorite, three surprising money-making benefits to making someone laugh. And so I'm super excited to discuss this. Once again, thank you, Social Media Pro, for sponsoring this podcast episode, and to my friend, Kate Buck Jr. And please, if you enjoyed this episode, share it with at least one friend. You will make their day or make their career. And not just that, you will also practice how to be a blessing to others. That just made me sound so nice and peaceful and kind, which is the opposite of who I really am. Anyway, all right, I'll leave you guys to it. Hope you enjoyed this episode, and I'll see you on Facebook and Instagram in between all of my filthy memes.
Hey everybody, we're live. Just like first we Instagram, then we eat. First we Instagram, then we interview. Ooh, that would be a great name for a podcast of some sort. Anyways, get all the selfies and all make sure you get me a good side. Hey everyone, thank you for joining us as well. Of course, I'm just doing my usual Thursday rambling while you guys are coming on to the show. And I have no doubt this is gonna be a packed episode because we have one of, if not your favorite, most requested. I mean, I think you guys like Carla even more than me. I'm just being real with you. Instructor and contributor here at Social Media Pro, Carla Singson. Hi, Carla. How are you doing?
Hey Kate, I'm super excited to be here. I love this community, and I always tell people that if you want the real deal, just come to Social Media Pro, Social Media Connect. They're super up to date, and it's my honor to be teaching here. You know, I love teaching, and I love hanging out with your crew. I mean, you and I hang out 6 days out of a week, so this is just eight times 5,000 or something.
Right. We're just going to have a conversation that we would normally have, just us hanging out, usually about. I'm super interested in this one for my own reasons, but let's go through some of the what's it called? Like the housekeeping. In case you're new to Social Media Pro or you've been living under a rock and you don't know who Carla is. Carla is an award-winning writer, speaker, and entrepreneur. So she has owned and grown traditional and online businesses since 2007. Her focus right now is on Proximity Outsourcing, a managed outsourcing company that helps fast growth online businesses outsource managerial roles to the Philippines and Latin America. Between her several businesses, playing golf and cooking and hanging out with her best friend, Kate. She manages to make it look easy thanks to having a great team and outsourcing. She really does. She lives my dream life, you guys. Her mission is replicating this type of freedom to 1,000 entrepreneurs worldwide. It's
Hey.
such an impressive bio. And honestly, I usually read those things and I'm like, yeah, right, whatever. But like, I actually know that all of that is true.
Oh God, that's funny.
So that's awesome, Carla. Thank you so much for being here. And today's topic, you guys, actually, let me say a little bit about that. So, first of all, just so you know, we are going to be talking about weaving humor into your marketing. You probably knew that from the title. And I want to tell you that Carla is by far the funniest person that I know. And I'm telling, just like with her bio, I'm not being hyperbolic. So, Carla just naturally is very, very funny. Her timing is good. We're probably going to talk about some of these things. She loves a good pattern interrupt. Who doesn't? Some shock value humor. But she's just really, really good at it, more so than other people. And it's not like she's ever just saying like, hey, two, rabbi and a priest walk into a bar. It's not that kind of formulaic funny. And she's come here before. As you guys know, if you haven't watched her previous sessions, we did one on social media content, like writing social media content, which was so good. And we did another one, which was on selling, like closing your clients on the phone. So all of these things are Carla using language in really, really beautiful, funny ways. And I'm gonna conclude my monologue with reminding you guys that when we talk about how to be effective in social media marketing, there you must be one of three things. You must inspire, educate, and entertain. And entertain is the hardest one. Most of us, the only way we really know how to do that is with meme marketing, which is even challenging for us because we see memes and we love them, but crafting them in our own head is really, really hard. JP Sears is my favorite person to say he does all three. Like when you watch his videos, you learn something, you feel inspired to take action, and you laughed the whole way through. And if you can do all three, winner, winner, chicken dinner. But truly, Carla, and I'm sure you're going to talk to us why most of us in real life just aren't freaking funny. And so that is the one place where we miss the mark. And somebody online on social media who just is funny can by far beat out someone who's the most educational and the most inspirational. So talk to us today about that third pillar. How do we entertain and make people laugh? How do, can we be funny in marketing?
Right. So, thank you for that, Kate. Of course, it's quite a challenge when you hear this for the first time because you're like, well, I'm not a funny person. But a lot of social media managers, they're always given the task of by their bosses or their clients, like, you know, post something that people will engage. I want more views. I want more impressions. I bet you guys have heard this over and over again from your clients. I want more views, more engagement. And one of the easiest ways, honestly, to do that is through humor. Now, if you are not a naturally funny person, the answer to can I be funny is yes, you can learn to be funny. And the one way to do this is to remember some really, really basic things about learning how to be funny or comedy as a practice. So if you look at stand-up comedians, if you just watch their performance, you can see certain patterns. So I would definitely say number one is study the pros, study the professionals. How do they say their jokes? How do they do the buildup? You know, a good story is a buildup and, you know, and there's like some sort of a climax and then there's a punchline. That's what they call it, right? Or there's a pattern interrupt. And so study like how they do it and how the audience or how even you are reacting to the joke as it is being said. So then you will first like learn what kind of humor you want to do also with regards to the brand you're representing. So that's also important, but we'll talk about more about that later. So first is you study the pros, right? So this is very easy. Anyone can do it because you guys have studied a lot of topics. If you try to cook, you've studied a recipe. When you are a VA deciding to be a social media manager and specialize, you studied. Instead of doing Microsoft Excel or Google Suite, now you bought a program from a social media pro and then you studied. And now you have a new skill. So you have to fully know that learning humor is a skill. And these comedians, they studied a lot. They studied storytelling, but you guys have studied that already. You know, story brand, you know, all these other like branding principles. You read the Seth Godin books. So you're good on that. So first is you got to learn how to study and then you do that. Number two, I would say honestly is find different perspectives of your daily life. So this is really one of the key in developing humor. Because if you look at memes, they are the same faces and the same kind of backgrounds, but the words are different, right? For example, the dog in the meme, or this famous like baby face with a burning car at the back, right? So I'm going to be live for this session. So I'm going to share some of these examples in the comment section so you guys can see it. And there's a lot of famous memes. The Office, if you guys watch The Office, there's certain expressions of Michael Scott and Dwight that they use over and over again, but they just change the words and they use it for marketing, right? And so as you can see, what we're doing really is different perspectives of the same thing. So for example, can I say a dirty joke or something? For example, you're going to say a joke. You're going to say, oh, you know, do you guys like personal development? Do you guys like Tony Robbins? Oh, yeah. I don't like, you know, I used to like Tony Robbins until my, and then I encouraged my husband to start listening to Tony Robbins. And then he heard this line about how comfort is on the, growth is on the other side of comfort. And then when he was trying to convince me to do anal, he just started yelling this in my ear and it ruined my development, personal development experience or something like that. So you were like, oh my God, like that's so, you know, it's not my best, but it's like, it's something different and something shocking, but it's like a perspective of something, right? So another like hit that I had with my clients was, if you're not going to pay your invoice in 24 hours, I will fuck your dad. Oh my God. So many of my clients loved it and affiliates. And it's so like, guys, I can show you literally the screenshots of where I got people telling me that this is the reason why I work with you. It's because, for me, it's just marketing, right? This is my brand. It's raunchy and I will always give you a shock. Right? Like that thumb up your ass. And then, so after that, so it can be learned. And number two, always look for different perspectives. And number three, align it with the brand. So not all kinds of humor goes with a particular brand. You can't be raunchy and selling to like grandmas unless that is the brand.
A Hallmark, right? Channel, right? Like,
yeah, if you're a Hallmark card, you know, company, you're not gonna say the jokes that I say. There is actually a very interesting candidate right now. Maybe you guys can I forgot her name, but I think she's Latina and she's running for Congress at this conservative state, and literally she says on her videos, America is now a pussy. It's weak and gay. Don't be weak and gay. Like literally she says that. And she was like, fuck vegans and soy boys. Like she literally like says these things, vote me for Congress or something. This is her brand, and her videos, her reels and her memes are super funny. I'm going to share some of them in the comment section as well, because you guys might, by the way, she didn't pay me to be here. And I'm not working for her campaign. It just really caught my eye. So as long as you can kind of remember that, you can start pitching some ideas to your client and see how they feel. And of course, as always in the content game, you got to continue to test and test the waters and try how people like respond to it. At first, you can start sharing memes, just a lot of memes don't really have like copyright, like they're just shared everywhere, right? Try to give as much credit as possible if you can, but of course, a lot of the memes can be shared everywhere. So try that. Try to see what the audience like responds to, and then that could give you the direction on like where you want to go next.
And I see you do this, where you're talking about sharing for testing and sharing memes. It doesn't necessarily mean, you guys, that you have to do it. One way to test would be to share memes from somebody else's profile in your stories where it's available for 24 hours. I see Carla do this a lot. And then I see her later sometimes post it on her timeline or use one of them, which I'm assuming you're grabbing the ones that did the best or the essence of the ones that did the best and then making a post. So it seems like to me like you're kind of doing some
pre-marketing
in your stories. Because you can get away with a broader spectrum there in the stories and then taking what works from there and moving it to your timeline. Maybe you guys could be a little bit more risk takers in the stories because it's disappearing content, but you can still gauge the response of your audience and then use those learnings to actually make your meme or your comedic post.
Yeah. The other thing that people would ask me about like weaving humor in your marketing is, I want to be funny, but I want to play it safe. What can I do? Right. So definitely number one is knowing the brand. We already know that. And number two, just be safe. Avoid trying to even be on the border of offensive. So for example, that candidate that I mentioned, like she says, America, don't be weak and gay. I would not do that personally, right? I have a lot of gay friends, and I could be gay in the future. I'm just kidding. But like, we don't know, right?
Are you saying there's hope?
Are you saying there's a chance?
Are you saying there's a chance? Oh, Garth, God, one of the things that I love is that because when you're around funny people, it makes you funnier, right?
Yeah.
And also gives you permission to do that. So Carla, when I'm around Carla, I'm funnier because, you know, Butcher's what she says, follow the pros. So I follow her. But anyways, so you'll hear me be a little fun, a little, probably a little funnier, but it's because she rubs off on me. We don't have to make the joke about that one.
About rubbing on each other. Hashtags. Anyway. So
moving on. Yeah. I don't want to do a lot of editing.
So, it's always good to like be on the safe side of things, right? Unless you are clear that you want to offend and repel certain people. We've definitely seen that being used by even big brands like Chick-fil-A, right? Chick-fil-A has been attacked before in the past because they were like, some people were saying that they were homophobic or something. And there was a time that they kind of like leaned into that like super Christian branding as well. So if at that time, if their social media manager is going to use humor in marketing and they decide to do that as a big company, then they can definitely say something like homophobic if they want to do that, if that is their intention, because good marketing is also attracting the right people and repelling the wrong ones. But there's a difference between repelling the people who will never buy and also like offending people. And you gotta be clear. And to be honest, I will not tell you like, don't offend anyone ever. But just, you know,
make sure you're offending the right people, because Budweiser made this mistake in one of their videos is because they ended up repelling their target audience by trying to make an offensive, funny joke and it didn't work. Right. I don't remember exactly what it is right now, but maybe by the time this airs. Right. And so if you offend the right the people, you have to imagine that. Kind of what you're saying, and I apologize, I'm just jumping in and now it's like it's an us thing, but sorry, did I make it about me? Is that most of life for most people is an us and them kind of thing, and particularly in the political climate that we live in right now, which is the same environment that you are making your posts into. So if you are listening, or reading, I guess it is since it's on the internet. But if you are in the space and you understand who your client really is, then you possibly, you know, and this comes down to, I'm going to say, go back to so many avatar trainings, because that is the core of all of this, is truly knowing your avatar, like embodying your avatar, like being able to step into your avatar skin for a moment, so that you know so well their likes and dislikes, their fears, their hopes, because otherwise taking these kinds of extreme offensive calculated risks would potentially get it wrong, which is another reason why we are talking about testing, is to baby step your way there to see, well, do they respond to this, 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 and each time trying to push the envelope a little more until you get yourself to a place where you can come out and confidently say something that's very polarizing. Because when you do that, the right, your people will show up. But if you accidentally offend your people, so it is a slippery slope. And I think, Carla, that's one of the things that makes it, besides that most of us don't think that we're funny, or we do think we're funny, but we're not, which is some of us, is that we're afraid of making a mistake in this genre because it could be so disastrous to a brand to take this kind of risk without knowing. So
yeah, I totally agree with that. And this is why you gotta just kind of dip your toe in the pool and see how it feels. Stories, as what Kate shared, is a very strategic way to just test the waters. And to be honest, the stories literally has a laugh emoji. So you will know like how many laugh emojis you get if they find it funny. Unfortunately, in the stories, it's the prompts. How do I say this? The journey of someone viewing a story is not to share. It's just, let's just pass by this, right? Like it just passes by. It is how we interact with the media when we're watching a story. Unless it's super funny, then we click it, we go to the account, we share it with our friends, right? And there's like 10 friends that we always fucking share memes with. Of course, Kate is my number one. Sometimes I actually accidentally almost like send memes about golf to Kate instead of my husband because like she's there at the top. So
I don't have to scroll Instagram anymore because I just have my own personal feed. Curated feed right there. So I love that we can see that on the back end with the stories so that we really understand. Because so we've talked about memes and we've talked about sharing to stories. I think, and then I mentioned JP Sears, like we're not talking about that you guys have to go script, you know, 5 minute, you know, comedic YouTube videos like he does. But what are some ways that people can be funny, you know, just in their regular post? Is this like, because I see you do this a lot in your actual text, like in the writing of the post, and or maybe the post and then the picture is just ironic based on what the post said or something like that. So besides memes and besides JP, you know, on one hand, and then JP Sears 20 minute produced YouTube videos that are scripted and funny, what are some other ways that we can be funny?
Yeah, that's a very good question because there's a lot of like just easy wins out there. So the main thing that you want, what brings engagement, right? What brings engagement is relatability. So for someone to even want to share your meme or your post, they have to relate to it. And you know why, like on social media, they call it a status, right? When you share something, it means it's your state. It is your current state. Your status. So if your current state is you like this piece of media, very likely you'll interact with it. You love it, you share it, you do a laugh emoji, you comment on it, you tag your friend. It entices action, right? So, and what does that is really relatability. They have to feel like, oh my God, she gets me. And this is one of the easiest and honestly the cheapest connection you can buy with your audience or when you target market if you can make them laugh. And I will share with you later like super big, literally money-making benefits of making someone laugh. So on our topic. But so first, you got to find things that are relatable to them. Okay, you know your industry. You know the things that they relate to. What should you focus on? Here's an easy hack. Look at their problems. So if I am going to do a brainstorming activity of, say, Social Media Pro, we're selling social media certification and education. So if I am someone who wants to learn about Social Media Pro, what are my fears and my problems? I don't want to be scammed by the wrong teacher. I don't want to look stupid. Because I bought this program and my posts still suck. What else are my fears? I'm going to start this social media business and tell everyone about it, but my own social media has no engagement. And because of that, I don't have clients. There's so many things that you can spin out of that. Then in the shame part, there's so many ways that you can do that. So you can have memes that are that are super relatable to the feeling of being ashamed, right? Like like if you have like a period stain or you went to a potluck and you brought like only chips and everyone brought like homemade stuff. So you kind of like, what are the situations that you can make funny that is related to their fear? And let me tell you guys, happiness is fine. It's relatable, but fear is more relatable. That's why girls are obsessed with true crime. We are obsessed with watching Forensic Files. And the other benefit of this is if you're selling something and if you're posting for a brand, it also tells them subliminally that they understand your problem and they understand your fears, right? And you want to be that person. You want them to be comfortable with their fears and problems with you. Another angle, let me give you another angle. Wouldn't it just be nice if your therapist was funny, right? So this is a person. So you guys might have probably seen a therapist. You always feel better after seeing her. You've kind of dumped your problems. They help you think through certain things. But wouldn't it be much, much nicer if they were funny too, right? Like you just feel so much better. This is how you want to be to your audience. You want to be the funny therapist. You want to, yeah, okay.
Yeah, oh, sorry, I was on mute. Yeah, see, the thing is, you guys, that we move away from, most humans want an outcome, but we will take action to move away from pain more than we will move towards pleasure. So for instance, a great example is around losing weight, right? You will want to lose weight so that you can look better, so that you can feel better. I can have all these excuses or all these reasons that I want to work out or get in shape, but I don't. But then have something happen, like you get a diagnosis or, right, now you're afraid of that. So what makes you jump into action more? So what Carla is talking about is pointing out their pain and their fears, but not in a way that, and in marketing, we teach you to exacerbate those. But when you add the humor and the relatability, you soften it and you actually point out the pain point at the same time that you are making a relatable connection. It's like, reminds me of that funny scene, like a funny scene. There's plenty of examples, but one that comes to mind is at the end of that movie, Steel Magnolias, when they're at the funeral and Sally Field is crying and she's like, why me? Why my daughter? And then one of the other friends, Charmaine, whatever her name is, the rich one, she's like, here you go, like, hit Weezer. Like, you know, wouldn't anybody in this town want to take a whack at Weezer? You know, and everybody starts laughing there, you know, because it's a moment where there's so much pain, right? But humor brings them, you know, together and connects them. And so a little bit roundabout way of saying, as you're sharing that, because you're talking about making light of things that people are ashamed of or afraid of and their pain points. And it's like, wow, we in marketing, good marketing copy, it's like you really, most of us that are not good at marketing copy, it's because we are afraid to really dial in those pain points. Right. Mostly because we feel like we're good people and we're empaths. Right. We'd rather
don't want to manipulate
the positive outcomes and help people towards their best self rather than remind them that the pain of sitting on the couch and being fat and unhealthy and, you know, being sick and tired of being, like, we don't want to talk about that because we for ourselves also want to shove those things under the rug. But what we're exposing here is that there is a way to do it, which is not so direct and whatever. It also comes with humor that lets them know it's okay to have these pain points. I have these pain points too. We don't have to take them all so seriously. And you're all this is why stand-up comedy and everything, I love it so much.
Right.
It, like a personal development seminar wrapped in a therapy session.
Exactly.
You know, with a good, like Eliza Schlesinger's Elder Millennial is basically her version of a Tony Robbins seminar.
Exactly.
In jokes. So anyways, I just wanted to say that, like, if you find yourself struggling to make use of pain points in copywriting or in your social posts, this is one way, you know, as Carla's pointing out, I'm seeing that this is a really great way to do it.
Yeah. And also if someone can describe your problem, but can give you a different perspective and makes it funny, how do you feel? You feel like, you know what? She gets it. I am Filipina and I moved to the States in 2019. And every time I see a comedian who's making like immigrant jokes, it hits me different. And I'm always like, oh my God, she so gets it. Like they just make jokes about the visa and being deported and like all of these like jokes, brown skin. And oh my God, it's so much funny to me. And I have a connection with that person because you feel, and this is copy, right? You want them to feel, oh, she gets me. Ah, she gets it. And that's mm-hmm. how you want to be. But more than that, I want to share three super amazing benefits of using humor in your marketing. And I know that some of you might still be kind of intimidated by the idea of like trying to learn it, trying to be funny. I'm not a funny person. I'm actually introverted or something. But maybe these three benefits can help. So first, humor is immortal. So you gotta know that what is funny will always be funny. And to be honest, even if it's offensive or, you know, language evolves, right? So in the past, when we say, that's gay, it was just fine. But now it could be offensive. And in the past, you know, language evolves. In the past, we used to use the term retarded a lot, right? And now, what's that song? Let's get retarded, right? There was that Black Eyed Peas song or something. But now it's kind of offensive. So except for those situations, most humor is immortal. We still find Dumb and Dumber funny. We still find these old movies. We still watch Friends 20 years later because it's funny. So, and when you have copy or marketing that's immortal, you don't have to always think of new angles to sell the thing that you're trying to sell. So that would be the first benefit. The next one I want to share is it literally improves your closing rate. It improves your sales if a lot of the parts of your marketing is funny, because it solidifies a connection, right? You're making them feel like they understand and you're giving them positive feelings. So you know that saying, no one will remember what you do, but they will always remember how you made them feel. That is also a very good tip in networking, right? And this is why, to be honest, little networking tip, when I'm out meeting strangers and if I have the intention of really making business connections, I turn my funny up. I literally am in my room putting my makeup. I'm like, I'm putting on a show tonight, you know, like game on, right?
It's your version of my junior. Do you know what I mean? Like, and my pink hair, like you have to be memorable and you make people feel, you laugh and feel they don't forget you, you know?
Yeah. So
I've been trying to forget you for a really long time.
Maybe one day when you have amnesia.
Every day I wake.
I'll just tickle you in your hospital bed when you're in a coma.
Like a voodoo doll, like.
Okay. Yeah, so you give your audience positive feelings. You are remembered. You're easy to remember because you stood out. You're funny. You know, that's another thing, standing out. You know that saying, different is always better than better, right? Sometimes people remember not that your marketing is better, your targeting is better, you spent more money in ads, but maybe your copy will convert better just because it's funny. And this has proven itself so many times. And one of the evidence of that is just these ads from the 80s or 70s. If you look at some of the funny ads, literally when they were in newspapers and they were just advertising to housewives, you will see that they use humor and they're still funny until now. So and they still induce positive feelings. They're still easy to remember and stand out. And lastly, first benefit is humor is immortal. Number two, it improves your closing rate. It improves your conversion because you entice positive feelings. You're going to be different and you're going to stand out. You're going to be remembered in a certain way. And there is a lot of benefit to that. Like, seriously, the marketplace is so crowded. You really want to stand out. Number three, honestly, this is my favorite. And a lot of people might not even think about it. If you use humor in your marketing, it communicates a lighthearted atmosphere and environment, right? And people will assume that that is part of your corporate culture. So when you make a mistake or when your client is unhappy, it's actually easier to win them back, and it's easier to apologize, and it's easier for them to forgive if you've made them laugh in the past. So I really enjoy this benefit, to be honest, because no business is perfect. But if you feel like you have a relationship with this brand that made you laugh, and they just apologize and they try to make it right with you, there's studies about this. Chances are it's very unlikely for them to cancel. And this is really important to me because my business is a subscription business. The cheapest way that you can work with me is $1,000 a month. So that's the cheapest way. And so I take care of my clients. Each cancellation will cost me at least $12,000 a year, right? So I really have to take care of my clients. And of course, there are times when we've made a mistake and they're unhappy, and then we have to go and correct it. And if they didn't feel that affinity, and to be honest, sometimes we send them a meme about it, like maybe like a crying dog or something funny. Sometimes we even go the extra mile and send physical gifts to their house. Like we've sent this cake one time, and it said like, wow, fixing that was not a piece of cake, but here are some. Like we've done this. So yeah, you can be cheeky, but having this kind of culture and planting it in your client's brain that, hey, we're just going to chill here, okay? It's going to help your retention better. And another teeny benefit of that is you're probably never going to get sued. You probably didn't expect me to say that. But studies have shown that even in medical malpractice, the number one reason why a person doesn't sue someone is because they like them. That's it. Honestly, if Kate fucked me over, I probably will just cry. But don't fuck me over. But I probably won't sue her. Depends on how bad it is. But no, for real. And if you look into your life, you probably even realize this. Like, you know what? Objectively, I should have sued this person when this happened, but I kind of like her, or I just don't want to deal with that. You just kind of would prefer to move on if it's that bad, right? If you're, of course, there's like an unhappy client and then you can fix it. There's an unhappy client and then they'll cancel. And then, of course, there's like the super extreme, which is they will sue. But literally, your humor or adding humor in your marketing might save you from a lawsuit. So I hope that that is brings enough conviction.
It's cheaper than it having business insurance, I guess. So
this is the business insurance.
This is the best selling of course. Laughter.
Exactly.
Yeah, totally. Those are awesome. I never really thought about the benefits in that way. Definitely understand the memorable one. Love the stat about how people won't, or they'll be nicer. You know, customers will be friendlier with you if you are friendlier with them. Sounds strong.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's really awesome. Well, I know we're going to open up for questions. I do have one more before we do that. And you guys, because we pre-recorded this, you'll be asking the questions in the comments, and Carla's going to be here. So she'll respond to them. But one question I have too is, I think it is actually easier than ever before to create funny content, again, kind of in the vein of memes, but also because of, trending audio.
I like that.
Trending audio, like where there's like the Snoop Dogg, like, audio or whatever, where he's, you know, I want to thank me, you know, so like you could do like when you were talking about what would we do for social media pro or whatever, and it would be like playing that audio. And then the meme could say something about like that feeling when you land your first social media client or your next big client, you know, I want to thank me for, you know, or whatever. Or there's a funny one with Trump where he's like, I've been thinking about doing it. I might do it. I don't know if I'm going to do it, but I probably will do it. you know, and this is like another social media manager meme, you know, like, oh, that client that, you know, has had their proposal for, you know, a few months already or whatever, like, I might do it, you know, but still hasn't actually.
That's funny. I like
every
that.
Week they send you that email, you know? So I actually think you guys, you youngins, you know,
from the elder millennial,
you know, even have like a kind of an interesting way. And there's lots of sites that for both the memes and kind of these trending audios as well, that have like, even have some stats or whatever. One of my favorite memes, and I'd love it. Actually, let's turn this into one of those threads too, or even just funny posts. So it's not just memes or whatever.
Yeah.
But I'd love to see some of y'all's favorite stuff. We all know and love the client brief versus client budget.
Right.
Like, that's a classic. Such a great one. You know,
that's a classic.
I don't know what other ones are out there, but anyways, Carla, anything else you want to share with us about being funny?
Oh, Well, don't rush yourself. Don't half-ass it. I would say that because
use your whole ass, right?
Yeah, exactly. Use your whole ass. It's also, it's like, remember you're learning a new skill, right? So if you're cooking, your first, you know, thing might not be actually cooking is easier because everything is exact. And I guess if you follow it exactly, but if you're learning
people that have eaten my food would dare say just because you follow the recipe.
Yeah.
I find that the recipe doesn't always answer all of my questions and I still have to guess, but apparently those things are called common sense. I don't know.
Yeah. And it takes a while to build intuition, but that is what skill will give you. That is the gift of like repetition, right, guys? So it's like, the more that you study this and you practice, the more intuitive it will be. Like, I swear, if you go to the top 10 meme accounts on Instagram right now, you can redo a lot of those memes and just use it. Like, there was that famous post of, you know, that lady walking with her boyfriend and she's like, and then the guy is like,
oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Right. That's very famous. You can do a lot of things with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Or there's, yes. Yeah. That was a great one. Yeah. What is it? Drake, the.
Yeah, exactly. That like, one, like this, like there's a smile and like, no. The Goosebumps one, right? Like, so when someone whispers and then, you know, so what was the thing that they whispered that made you get goosebumps, right? Like maybe it was like, hey, I closed my first social media client on Upwork today without any help or something. So that feeling that I get, you know, something like that. Or another angle also that I want you guys to play is the chip on the shoulder angle. So people relate to content that makes them feel like an underdog and then you like hate their enemies or something. So for example, for social media pro, it's like my face when I see my old like office mate who thinks that I will never make it on social media world, but here I am in like Lake Como or something because I own my time or something like that. So it could be like a reel, it could just be a reel, but using humor in you know, and I'm sorry, it's not, it might sound a little hateful or something or vengeful, but it is just like a chip on your shoulder. And what is that feeling? That feeling is like also a feeling of you get me and you get how I feel, right? So if you can see an opportunity or an opening where you can appeal to the chip on their shoulder feeling and then make that funny, I would bet that would be a pretty successful piece of content. And don't forget to just use this don't like use this just on social media, guys. Use this in your email newsletters. Social Media Pro has trainings now with AI. So use AI to do this. Yeah, you can literally probably even ask AI, like make me a meme or something, or what are certain angles that I could use, you know? So definitely take advantage of that.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I can hear that you've got company coming over. I'm not invited because I'm in the United States. But anyways, so we're going to wrap up today's recording. Appreciate you so much being here. This was really insightful. We learned a lot. We laughed a lot. And we're going to continue the conversation in the comments below. So post your questions, but also post your favorite memes, audios, videos, and just all in general, funny posts, tweets, etc., and questions, and Carla will answer for them for you there. Okay, see you guys yes. later. Bye.
Super excited. Bye.
So it's a wrap. To my entrepreneur friends, I hope that you found this episode interesting and enjoyable. I know I did. Big thanks to our sponsor, Proximity Outsourcing, for making this possible. If you need to outsource anything in your business so you can scale fast and easy, visit proximityoutsourcing.com and check out their solutions. If there's any topic that you want to request, feel free to reach out. I only have two conditions. You tell me why you find it interesting, and you promise it's not business talk. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, and leave us a comment or review because you're cool like that. This is your host, Carla, and thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for your interest in fun stories. Now we can get back to business. See you next week. And remember, everything here is none of your business.